said it gave her chills. We did a series like this about 15 years ago, but we looked at characters in the New Testament. So beginning tonight, we'll start looking at characters in the Old Testament. There's a character right there. How are you? Good. You know, Gary, he wheels up here. Your van's not fixed, is it? Nope. But he comes up and wheels up. Oh, man. Gary, we just love you. We do love you. We love it when you're here. So tonight we're going to look at really famous characters. Can we take a second and review a couple things of last week? So you probably know someone who is a character in your life. Those people in your life with those big personalities, and when they walk into a room, they light it up, or you know, everyone wants to know what they think or say, and they couldn't really take a back seat if they wanted to, and there's no stage too big for them. Just the big characters in your life. Well, the Bible has characters like that, people who really take center stage of a story or even a few chapters or an entire book of the Bible. Character and characteristics are kind of the same word. So what we're doing is that we are looking at some important characteristics of these big characters, and we're trying to see how they fit into our lives. Can we take on some of these characteristics so we can have good character? Remember last week, I heard this a long time ago, and I really believe this, is that character is different than our reputation. They go together sometimes, and they kind of track a little bit the same, but they are different. Character is something that's inside, and I develop over time. Biblical character comes when I study the biblical characteristics that God wants me to be. Reputation is what you think I am. I hope that's good, but my character is something pretty personal. That's something just between me and the Lord. Character is who I really am, and my reputation is who you think I am. I've known people, just because they're different, maybe you have too, that their reputation is great, but their character is kind of iffy, you know, iffy. Maybe you know people like that. It's always kind of a sad thing when you find out later on someone's character doesn't match their reputation. I only say that because they're different, and it's more important to focus on your character because that's between you and the Lord. It's who you are when nobody's watching, who you are when nobody can see. And that's your character. Abraham is one of the very first big characters to show up in the Bible. He lived a little bit after Noah that we talked about last week, but he had a lot in common with Noah. Remember, Noah lived, and the Lord looked in the earth and didn't find very many people with whom he could have fellowship. But he found that in Noah, and he got Noah to build the ark, and he, in a very solemn way, judged the earth. Well, Abraham was similar. This was years later, only a few chapters, but lots of years later, the Lord wanted to have fellowship with someone, and he found someone in a land called Ur of the Chaldees, and his name was Abraham. And he made Abraham some pretty special promises that had to do with the size of his family, the size of his the generations that would follow his lineage. And the Lord told Abraham they would be like the stars of the sky, another place like the sand on the seashore. And he made Abraham some pretty, pretty special promises. God and Abraham had a great relationship. In fact, that's what I want to focus on tonight. A lot of great stories about Abraham, but what I'd like to focus just for a few minutes is just their friendship, the way they would talk to each other, the way that Abraham could share with the Lord. In fact, fact, this is tonight's takeaway. We'll go ahead and put it on the screen, is that Abraham was a friend of God. He was a friend of God. Think for a moment how you interact with your friends. Think about that. Think of the relationship that you have with your close friends. You can tell them anything. You can share things that are bothering you. When something good happens, you call up your close friends. You take Gary here. It's no secret, Gary. He's just so close to Rhonda and me, and we just love each other. And we will, I know what foods he likes. You know, I can finish Gary's sentences before he can finish them. I can know what he's going to think about something. He can do the same with me. Because, what? Oh, he was finishing my sentence right there. Yeah. See, we're that close. So think about your, hey, you want to do this or not? Okay, just think about how you interact with your closest friends. That's the relationship that Abraham and the Lord had. Look at this verse in James, James chapter number 2, verse 23. It says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So there it is, right there. James put it right in the Bible. Abraham was called the friend of God. They had a special relationship, Abraham and God did. That's an important way that Abraham is characterized. It's an important part of his character, and that is just the close, intimate relationship that he had with the Lord. I want that kind of relationship with the Lord. I want to be able to tell the Lord everything as I pray. I want to be able to share with him things I wish I could change about myself, things that I've messed up. Things that I'm hoping for, things that make me sad. I want to be able to share those freely with him like Abraham did. They had a close relationship. Abraham had a nephew. How many of you, it's a short name. It has three letters. Anybody know Abraham's nephew's name? Shout it out. Lot. That's it. Yes. And Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Abraham loved Lot. But have you ever had those family members that you love, but boy, they give you a lot of problems, amen? Anybody have those? I don't know. Don't raise your hand. Well, Lot was kind of that way. Abraham loved him. But it just seems like Abraham was always putting out fires because of Lot. And so one time, Their groups just got too big to live together. And it was sad, but they got to the place where they knew they had to separate, go their own ways. So Lot was going to take his family and cows and whatever livestock and everything he had and live in one place. And Abraham was going to live in another place. So Abraham gave Lot first choice. And Lot, they go up on a mountain. Abraham said, okay, here we go. Here's all the land. Pick what you want. And Abraham picked a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. He took his family and lived in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. Wasn't a great place. Wasn't a good place. In fact, Sodom and Gomorrah had people that did not love the Lord. And they made decisions that were not pleasing to the Lord. And that's where Lot, it looked good from the mountaintop, but once you get into that thing, it wasn't a place pleasing to the Lord. The people made decisions that were not pleasing to the Lord. And, you know, I want to say this right here. You know, it really matters where you live. It matters. Your environment, the place you decide to live, that may be a town, it may be a house, it may be a job, it may be a lot of different things that are personal to you, but where you decide to be matters because we are affected by our surroundings. Not saying you shouldn't go to a culture and witness, not saying that. I'm saying where you are matters. That's all I'm saying. And so Lot took his entire bunch down there, and that's how it was. Well, the Lord revealed to Abraham that just like the Lord had revealed to Noah years before, he was fed up with the people of that place, Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was going to judge it by fire. And Abraham immediately realized that that's where his nephew was, and he loved Lot. Now, Abraham could have just backed off and let it take its course, but he just couldn't stand. Abraham believed God. He knew what God would do. He just couldn't stand to leave his family there, Lot there, and not try something. So Abraham began this dialogue with the Lord that is fascinating to me. It's fascinating how personal and how intimate is this conversation, when it almost is like Abraham keeps bargaining and asking the Lord for things. And he starts out by thinking, how big is this place? How big is this city? How many people are there? And also, he knew how many of Lot's family were there. And so Abraham asks the Lord, if there are 50 people, 50 righteous people, 50 people that follow you, will you spare that city? And the Lord said, yes, I will. Now, I don't know if Abraham expected the Lord to say that, but there was the answer. He would save that city if there were 50 people there that followed the Lord. That's probably, I don't know how many people are here tonight, 70? So maybe the people here in the bottom of the Esquire, in the theater seats down here, if the Lord found 50 people that followed him and were righteous, he would spare that city. He said he would do it. Well, Abraham was happy, but then he was nervous. He thought, oh, what have you done? What if there's not 50? So he said, what about 45? Will you do it for 45? And the Lord said, yes. And Abraham kept going. He said, how about 40? Yes. How about 30? How about 20? Yes. How about 10? And the Lord said, I will spare it if I find 10 righteous people. Abraham thinks he's safe because he knows Lot's family's there, and that's almost 10. So surely Abraham thought, I'm good. I've got my family saved. So Abraham quit asking. Abraham stopped asking the Lord before the Lord stopped giving. He stopped asking before the Lord stopped giving. But Abraham should have kept asking, because as you know, it's a sad story. But there were not even 10 people in that big place that were righteous. And God saved Lot's family. He pulled them out, but he did judge the city. Now, there are a couple of takeaways from that story. We're not really going to get into the story, but I just want to make two quick takeaways here as we finish. One is, hey, don't stop asking before the Lord stops giving. Ask the Lord for what you need. Ask. The Bible says that he is able to do exceeding above and beyond all that we ask or think. Don't be afraid to ask the Lord for what you need. Ask him things. Have that intimate relationship with him that Abraham had. Tell him that you love him. Tell him you're sorry for the things you did that you regret that day. Ask him to cleanse you from sin. But don't be afraid to ask him for things, because God has this big supply based on the riches in Christ Jesus. So don't be afraid to ask the Lord for things. The second takeaway is just that conversation, just how intimate it was that they were able to have that, and just like you would a friend, just like you would talk to a friend. I think that is a great characteristic, knowing how much God loves you, and you can talk to him through prayer like he is your friend. Now, like anything else, there's a balance in this part of our Christian lives. Hey, I think you need to, we need to look at God with reverence and respect. There are times in the Bible when God would reveal himself or do something, and you have great people falling on their face because they cannot be in the presence of what has just happened. There is an awe or a respect in who God is. And I don't think, you know, we should be flippant or take that for granted. But there is a part of God who wants to get to know us. And he loved us so much, he sent Jesus. And Jesus became a person so that we could relate or have a relationship with God. You know, that's how we relate to God, through that the person of the Lord Jesus. That's how we can have a relationship. You know, without Jesus, we would have no hope. We wouldn't have any hope. We're so much different than God. We would have no hope without Jesus, but we do have Jesus. He came as a person. He can relate to the things that we go through, the things we face, and he died for us so that as we accept his gift, that's when we have a relationship with God. Hey, I want to say just a couple more things, and that is that Abraham was a friend of God. You can trust God to be, you can talk to God like he is your friend. God is not out to get you. He is not out to punish us. That's not his goal. He wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to tell him everything on your heart. I want you to think about how regular relationships and friendships grow. Part of that is allowing each other to be human. Take Gary and me just for a second. One of the reasons that we're so close is we know that we make mistakes, we blow it, and we allow each other to be human. We know we have limits. Well, God knows that about us. He knows we're human. Psalm 103 says that. He remembers that he made us out of dust. He knows we're frail. And so that helps our relationship because, I mean, we know God is in his place and we're in our place. And even though God is higher than we could ever imagine and we are just people who continually make mistakes, he still wants a relationship with us, and he wants you to talk to him like we are, like you're his friend. That's healthy. So one of the best characteristics about Abraham, he was a friend of God. He talked to God like he was his friend. That's what I want you to remember tonight. I want you to know you can talk to God like he is your friend. Father, we love you. We do thank you that you sent Jesus to save us, and when we had no hope, you sent Jesus to be our Savior, and we are thankful for that. Lord, help us not take the privilege of prayer for granted, and that we can talk with you, and you listen to us, and we are thankful that you speak to us clearly through your word. Lord, we don't have to worry about wondering what you say or think, because you've given us a clear copy of your word, and you also give us access to you through prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Esquire. And again, we are thankful to be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, next week we're going to talk about another great character. Hope you'll join us here at the Esquire.